I mean, it makes sense, you know, if that money is, if the main goal is, you know, let's have cleaner streets and help drivers buy cars. As long as it's an electric car, it doesn't really matter where you buy it because it's the same car. You're not inventing a new car. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the third episode of our podcast. I am Mihai, and he is...
Michael. We hope you guys have been enjoying the podcast so far. You've been listening, kind of getting more interested in the idea, because we are definitely getting more interested as we're doing more research, speaking to more drivers.
Okay, so what have we been doing for the past week? We've talked to a couple more drivers.
Yeah.
Right? Get even a clearer picture of what drivers are interested, what they want. And as we said, we're going to focus on security features, what drivers are lacking at the moment, what should be implemented, and what do we need in the future.
Yeah.
But we also came up with a fairly loose at the moment structure for our documentary. Okay. So where are we now, Michael?
So, like you said, we spoke to two drivers the last week. Should we just quickly run through kind of those drivers and that, how the conversation went and things like that? So, we spoke to, I believe, I'm trying to remember his name now. The first driver we spoke to this week, it was Rui. I believe his name is Rui. Yeah. And he was an interesting driver as well. In terms of kind of the story that he had and, you know, the things that he's kind of been through. I think he said he was a driver for, was it 4 years now?
4 years, yeah, 2017.
4 years. And he's had, you know, a few conflicts with, you know, both customers and Uber and et cetera. So I think he's... go ahead, sir.
Yeah, sorry. No, he sent me actually a few videos and... we'll see if we can use those videos with the interactions he was mentioning. Basically, just some rude customers, nothing physical, but still threatening because you never know, where the interaction might go.
Yeah.
He's driving an electric car, which is good, but also, you know, it asks for more resources from him in terms of insurance, the finance, etc. He said an interesting thing that he paid for it himself. So basically, he didn't go through the clean air fee, although he's waiting for the clean air fee from Uber. So the way, let me just for a second explain how it works. Uber basically takes, I think it's 15p for every mile you drive, and puts it to this clean air fee. Yeah. And once you have £1,000, you can apply to have that clean air fee transferred to one of the companies that Uber works with, and they discount that amount from the price of the car. Now, the terms and conditions to go that way, it's not great.
Yeah.
So Uber says that if you go you know, your own way and you try to buy the car yourself, they're not going to give you that money. But Rui was mentioning that he knows drivers that were able to access that money, although they bought the car themselves and didn't go with the companies. So that's what he did, and he's waiting for that money. And in a sense, it makes sense, you know, if that money is, if the main goal is, you know, let's have cleaner streets and help drivers buy cars. As long as it's an electric car, it doesn't really matter where you buy it because it's the same car. You're not inventing a new car.
Yeah.
So I can't really see that being the case. And let me segue for a second because it ties into this to Marius, because
yeah,
Marius... Do you want to talk about it? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, sure. I mean, yeah, like he was going to say, Marius, I think he had the same situation. Literally, he bought a Tesla and, you know...
No, he's renting. He's renting.
Oh, apologies. Yeah, he's running a Tesla, and also he's one of the way he took a few jobs into the congestion show, because you know, as you guys probably know, once you have an electric car, you should be discounted from, or you should get like an exemption from the congestion charge. And so he thought he made the assumption that it was automatic. And you would expect it to be automatic, because it's a Tesla car, and all Teslas are, you know, electric, and you know, they do the job of being electric and, you know, not putting fumes in the air and so forth. And so basically he said that after, was it a few weeks something, or a few months of driving, they just got fined, or again got an email, checked the congestion, like the society you check, right, something like that.
Yeah. So just he basically, any car, if you want to have the automatic payment taken out of your account, and if you don't want to be at risk of getting fined, you should register your car for automatic payment, because, you know, sometimes maybe you forget or et cetera, you get in the congestion zone, maybe you don't realize it, or, you know. So it's just safer in a sense, because it protects you from a possible a fine, which is £80 if you don't pay for the congestion zone. But so he registered for that. You know, he put his Tesla in automatic payment, and after a few weeks, he saw that he has to pay £175 for going in the congestion zone. But when you registered for the automatic payment, you have to say what type of car it is. So they knew that the car was Tesla.
Yeah.
Tesla only makes electric cars, so there's no point. I mean, you would assume there's no point in registering for an exemption, because the manufacturer, you know, it's basically exempts you in a sense, right?
Yeah.
But he actually got a reply, because he challenged this, you know, the amount that he had to pay, and he got a reply from TfL saying that regardless of the make of the car, regardless if the car is electric or not, you have to register for an exemption, and you stop paying for congestion only the day the exemption is provided. So until then, regardless of your car, electric or not, you pay for the congestion. And also, now talking about Tesla for a second, he mentioned the CCTV issue.
Yes.
You know, because TfL only allows certain companies to sell CCTV compliant systems to drivers.
Yeah.
And they're very expensive. I think the cheapest one is £500. And it goes up to more than £1,000. But actually, cars, you know, like more expensive cars, he was mentioning BMW, but also Tesla, you know, they have their own CCTV from the manufacturer. But so technically, that's non-compliant. But I mean, you can't take the camera.
Exactly. Right? Tesla's like 8 or 9, 7 or 8 cameras in them already. So it's like, it's crazy. You still have to install the TfL approved. And it's just, again, it's just, even he mentioned, I think basically all the drivers have been mentioned that TfL's, all their regulations are just to really just dry out the drivers from their money, just to take money from them, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
And even he also mentioned that there is this just definitely obvious balance in how TfL treats, you know, minicab drivers versus black cab drivers and things like that. So, you know, he also went quite a bit into that as well. And going back to Rui for a sec, you know, he also, like most of the drivers, when we asked him about kind of changes that he thought the app should, you know, should bring and put in place as well, he also mentioned things like, identity, like being able to kind of verify the customers.
Yep.
Because, you know, as you guys probably know, the only amount of information, and, you know, I'm not a driver, but I've been, you know, told that the only amount of information you can tell from your customers, like once before, you know, you take the job, is, you know, they're just a name, potentially where they're going, something like that.
I'm not sure. The first part of the postcode, so
would
be SE18, let's say, you know, but not the full. Well, actually, free now, to be fair, free now gives you the full postcode. But yeah. So the name, but, you know, basically the name could be any string of letters. It doesn't have to be your actual name.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't have, some people just have one letter and, over there, like J or Z or whatever. So you see the name, you see the rating. That's a big one, because And actually, I posted the video with Francis where we talked about this. You know, like
a lot of drivers,
if the rating is under 4, I think Rui was mentioning as well, right? Under 4, he said, I think under 4.5, he doesn't take customers.
I think, I think he said something like that as well. I think it was Marius that said that he doesn't really, doesn't really use that as a judgment too much. I think Marius was saying he doesn't use that as a judgment, but Rui did. That's a recap on kind of, what's his name? Rui, we spoke to Rui, we also spoke to Marius as well. We're very too, again, interested in drivers and stories. I think Marius said he had only been a driver for 2 years, and I think he even said he's not going to be, like, as soon as he gets a way out, like, he's gone basically from.
But interestingly, Marius has been a driver for 10 years, a taxi driver for 10 years in Romania, where he's from. So he's an experienced driver, and he also worked for Amazon before being an Uber driver.
I think one key thing he mentioned, that the difference in customers from when he was a minicab driver in Romania versus, you know, working now for the apps, that he said the customers was definitely very different. That in Romania, that, you know, they basically, there's more kind of respect for the drivers, there's more consideration for the drivers. Even Rui, I think, even mentioned that, and he sent us a video whereby, and he spoke about kind of customers' kind of behavior, and one of the conflicts he had were whereby the customer was telling him that, oh, I'm paying you, just drive.
And
he basically had to tell them to basically leave and get another cab. So Marius came, you know, made the same point that there's such a difference between customers where in Romania from his 10 years, I mean, imagine that, 10 years of working as a minicab driver versus now just 2 years, like under 2 years of working, and he realized the customers are so different. He doesn't want to do it anymore. Exactly. And he's like, whenever I guess his way out to, you know, going to the lorry driving, that he's definitely going for it. That's a brief recap on the drivers we've spoken to. We have some more, we'll speak to more drivers next week. And I think you said, Miha, there was one or two people.
Yeah, there's Daniel, and we might have a talk also with one of the leaders of one of the unions.
Yeah.
But he still hasn't gotten back to me yet, but we'll see. But now moving on to the documentary, where we're at.
Yeah. So in the last few days, more likely, we've spoken to, again, our tutor. We've had conversations between ourselves in terms of the direction and more, again, I mean, how it's going to look, basically, what the visual representation is going to be of the documentary. And we've come up with the, as a reminder that this is just a, like a shorter version of the full-length documentary, kind of like a pilot or a proof of concept. We're going to be starting, I guess, with, we're going to be focusing on safety, the dangers, safety and, you know, dangers presented to drivers in comparison to customers, why that is. And we're going to be using Mr. Mihai as the kind of central character, somebody that we follow through the documentary. We'll start by introducing basically the subject. So this is kind of like a quick scene by scene run through, and we'll go into more detail of how we're going to present it as well. So we're going to start with kind of some introductory text going into like a ramp up with music of like a montage, basically kind of presenting the dangers. So from a lot of the videos we've been getting from drivers, we've been finding online, we've been clearing, that even some of the ones that Mihai has and the experience has been. And also that's one of the reasons why we're using, especially for this short version, but let's just go with Mihai as the central character, because he has also had experiences with, you know, bad customers. And obviously he's a driver, great perspective from we can talk with from. So we're
and also just a note on that it's this, we didn't start out with me being the central character, but the production wise it's easier because I'm also a driver and I have a dash cam. I encounter customers all the time, so if it's easier to get access to it and to produce it, basically.
Yeah, and also because we also spoke to our teacher, because she's a documentary maker, and she has some, you know, lawyer friends and some people that are producers that work in the industry for some time, and they also came back to us saying that it's one of the easiest way, and we can easily get it cleared, get release forms directly from the customers, etc. So it's, again, on the production level, it's it makes things much easier. Again, we have no budget yet. We've done the GoFundMe, but we need some support, guys. So this is, again, one of the things that we're trying to just make sure we can get this done, basically. So going back again to the scene summary. We start with that montage showing, just establishing what we're talking about, and then we cut to Mihai. Kind of, we're going to follow him from the evening, so like a few hours of working from the evening to sunrise. So from sunset to sunrise, and so we're going to, you know, establish some shots, have some interactions with customers, and we're also, because, you know, we have spoken to quite a few drivers and we're speaking to more. We are going to get them back in. So any of you guys listening, for sure you're going to come. We're going to get you back in. We're going to do some interviews. We're going to get more of your points, more of your stories, and we plan to use that. In the especially in the middle of the documentary, whereby we have Mia as the kind of key character telling us about the situation, explaining the documentary, giving context basically to the documentary. Yep. Because we've been studying documentaries, we've seen quite a few examples where that has been done and been done well. So we're gonna that's basically the middle. Mihai talking, presenting the ideas. We're gonna be including some interviews. And again, please remember, this is a loose summary. It's not final. Obviously, the final one will be, while we're editing, we're probably going to make some changes as well. But this is like something to just give you guys a visual cue of how it's going to look.
Presentation, yeah.
Exactly. And so that's kind of the middle. And then we plan to end it off because, you know, the situation with Gabriel was kind of the genesis of this idea. So we plan to. So once, again, we follow Mihai from a sunset to sunrise the next morning. Once that kind of ends, and we'll kind of introduce the situation with Gabriel with some text on screen. We're also going to use some shots of when his body was driven to Romania or to Dover. And, you know, there were loads of drivers that, you know, came along in support. We're going to use some shots from those. We're going to see, we're going to clear those as best we can. And, in terms of legality and so forth. And we're going to include that and basically just present the situation with Gabriel to make it really, because it is a real situation. So this is, we want to present it, you know, through the 10 minutes or so of, you know, Mihai talking and interviews. We want to end it with that strong, strong point that, you know, this is a real situation that needs attention. It's not something that just we looked past. And that's basically it. And in terms of scene summaries,
yeah, that's basically a loose structure, and as Michael said, we're probably there are going to be some changes to it, but that's kind of what we're going for, and that's where our starting point. And we'll see, what footage we can clear legally, what footage I can produce, what footage we've got from other drivers. On that note, if you have any footage that, you know, you haven't posted in any other groups, or if you're not part of the groups and, you know, something happened to you or you have a story, please reach out, thedriverstory@gmail.com, or you can find us on Facebook or on Twitter at, the driver story, or you can just leave a comment on YouTube, or, you know, if you're listening to this, just email us at thedriverstory@gmail.com, and we'll get in contact with you. I did another thing that I've done the past week is I've went through all the groups that I'm a part of, and I looked for certain words, trying to see what happened in the past. So I went through all the groups looking for these three words: threatening, aggressive, and dodgy. And that's how we, you know, I looked through all the posts, the comments and everything, and that's how I found some of the things that happened in the past. A driver's car was stolen. I think it was a Bugatti or something. He was driving an Uber Lux a few years ago. Anyway, they didn't get back to me. But if you are seeing this, if you have some footage, if you have a story, please get in contact with us. Yeah, go ahead.
I wanted to mention a few things, 2 points, is that, because, you know, from the summary, it might look that we're just talking about, like, or presenting just, you know, the problems. Just like, you know, the fact that, you know, it's a problem. Because, you know, this is a, you know, Miha has also mentioned is that Uber and, you know, the other all companies, they're doing something really good here. They're trying to present, you know, opportunity for drivers and people to, you know, get into a flexible industry and, you know, for customers to be able to easily, you know, go from A to B, etc. So we're not just presenting problems, basically. We're also going to be alongside, you know, especially with the interviews and as Mia will be talking in the documentary, presenting solutions, potentially, you know, presenting solutions to people like, you know, Uber, Ola, Freenow, and Bolt, all the companies, so that they can know that these are potential things that, even from, especially when we're speaking to drivers, these are things that they have said that could be done. And consistently, especially, you know, things like verifying customers, these are something that, you know, the drivers have been saying. So it's, we're not just saying this is a problem, we're also presenting solutions. It's we're trying to also be positive as well as, you know, present the dangers.
Yeah, thinking about that now, I remember that I think Marius said the same thing you know, having having customers' accounts verified, having maybe a panic button of some sort. If you have any other ideas, please send them our way. A message that I got on one of the groups. Luca was the one that sent me the message with a driver that was attacked and his car was stolen last Friday. So now it's is this last Friday? So a week ago, today's Friday, last Friday. Yeah. Hopefully we'll be able to get in contact with him and maybe we'll share the interview with everyone. If he agrees to talk to us, and then if he agrees to share his story, that would be great. It's unfortunate what happened, but this just basically, you know, screams this problem, especially now with people being in lockdowns. A lot of them lost their jobs, and some of them turned to crime. Yeah. And Uber, you know, minicab drivers are an easy target, although we don't carry cash anymore. Still, we have valuables, we have dash cams, you know. Some of them are worth, even though they're not TFL compliant, mine is not, but I still have to have it because I have to protect myself.
Exactly.
So dash cam phones, and as we've seen, they even stole their, you know, this driver's car, which is absurd, you know, because you would think it's so easy to trace it, right? But if you think about a car being pulled into a garage, and then just broken apart and so having all those parts sold on eBay or whatever, you know, no one's going to trace that.
That's true. And even I think we also were talking about and I'm just, you know, just going back a little bit to, you know, the kind of the visual representation, what it's going to look like. I think we also want to include things like some shots from very key locations around London, and some places that, you know, basically stand out, because again, it is a story on based on minicab drivers. So we want to have that theme going through entirely, and so again, it's been, for me especially as someone that is like an outsider, I guess, kind of coming into the industry, it's been a very, very eye opening kind of experience. Week by week, we always find something new. New drivers are arriving. Mihai is doing really, really great work in terms of research and contacting people. I'm just like the guy just helping on the sidelines.
Very crucial help.
Thanks. But yeah, so again, like I said, it's been very, very eye opening, and every week I'm just getting more and more interested, and I'm looking forward to us producing this. But I think we're like 1 or 2 weeks away from probably starting, but again, like, we have been, the goal again now is just to find key stories like that we can use, that we can include key footage that we can clear, because once we can clear them, it's like, okay, great, let's go out. Because the shooting of, for example, interviews or even with Mihai, that's probably like something very easy that we can just, you know, do even next week if we want to, but like, we need the stories, we need people to come forward and you know, basically let us know what they've been through so that we can really get this point out there. Because it's the, you know, it's with you guys' story that that's aiding us, that's helping us to do this story. So please, again, like Miha said, get it. Let's, you know, get in contact with us at thedriverstory@gmail.com. And
basically we need your story to tell your story, right?
Yeah, precisely.
And for me, you know, for you, it's been eye-opening for me as well, because, you know, it's a very lonely job in a sense, you know. Yeah. You meet with a lot of people, but you yourself as a driver, it's not like you go to a place where you meet other drivers. There's drivers on the groups, but you never know how much they actually represent the view of most of the drivers. But actually talking to them, I think it gives us a sort of union in a sense, and we see that we encounter the same problems.
Exactly.
That sense of being alone in your with the issues you're dealing with is kind of been taken away. So
So
I think that's pretty much for all today, for this week.
Yeah.
Right.
Thank you. Yeah. I guess. Yeah. One more time. Thank you for you guys for listening, for watching. Again, we hope you send us your stories. Hope you're even excited to, or even that you can support us if you can, wherever you can, however you can. Even if just sending us people's stories or sending us information, just get in contact with us.
If you want to support us, you can do that by putting us in contact with people that have a story. You can do that by sharing and liking our content, either on Facebook or here on YouTube, or wherever you listen to this, actually. And you can also support us at GoFundMe/the driver's story documentary.
Yep. Yes.
No one has donated yet, but, you know, we're hopeful. Someone's got to start the ball rolling.
Exactly.
So, yeah. So anyway, so thank you for listening and watching, and we'll see you next week.